You're listening to Energy Wise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. Get energy wise, save money, become sustainable.
Hello once again, and welcome to Energy Wise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. I'm Ty Keltner, and today we're talking about walls. Our guest is Ilya Benesch, who's going to educate us on types of walls, building walls, energy efficiency, and lots more. I understand that when it comes to energy expenses, walls are often a big part of leakage. Tell me more about that.
Well, that's very true. One thing that people look at is that they think the roof is where they're getting their biggest energy losses, but when you think about it, the walls themselves are often the biggest issue. And so that's kind of what we're going to be focusing on. And when you think about it, walls comprise by far the largest surface area that is exposed to the outside on a home. This is important because the first law of thermodynamics says that heat will always go to cold. Whether it goes up, down, or sideways doesn't matter. But the surface area of the walls, one side is always exposed to the cold outside, so heat will naturally want to try to go that direction. We tend to assume that heat rises and so our roof is responsible for the greatest heat losses. What actually is happening there, and it's a little bit confusing, but is that air rises as it is warmed and it becomes a vehicle for the transport of heat. This doesn't mean that heat losses out of the walls are reduced by any means. You can have many times more heat losses through the walls than through the roof.
So what do we need to have a successful wall, so to speak?
To be successful, an exterior wall must perform several important functions. It's got to have good insulation, high insulation value. It's got to have moisture control, and it's got to be able to control air leakage. And so we'll take these three concepts, insulation, moisture control, and air leakage, and break them down one by one, and we'll apply them to like the standard 2x6 wall construction that you would see in Fairbanks today.
That sounds good.
Well, we'll start with insulation. In the framed walls we see around here, fiberglass batting is the material used most commonly. In U.S. residential construction in general, it is still the most popular insulator. It's got a good insulating value, and it's relatively inexpensive when you compare it to a lot of the other products that are out there. In a Fairbanks wall, you'd be looking at 2x6 wall can hold insulation with an R value of about 21 if it's fiberglass. The trick there is that that does not mean that the wall is R21. If you were to take all the lumber in that wall, that's the studs and the framing for the windows and the doors, and stack it up in a big pile, that could add up somewhere to between 11 and 20% of the total mass in the wall. And when you look at a wooden stud that is a 5.5-inch depth, wood has an R value of about 7. When you compare that to the fiberglass, which is R21, and average all that in, then you have a wall that's got a true R value of closer to 18 or 19, not counting the windows and doors. And since the wall studs conduct cold from the inside to the outside more readily, because they've got such a low insulating value, we call this thermal bridging. There's some great examples of thermal bridging, particularly on older houses in Fairbanks. You might see a lot of homes built with 2x4 walls even 20 years ago, and if they haven't repainted recently, you can see little black dots where the screws basically behind the paint are all outlined, and in some cases, if the bridging is very severe, you can actually see the stud outlined. And what is going on inside there is that the air inside the house carries microscopic little dust particles, especially if there's smoke from a wood stove or a dirty boiler or something like that. And then that air also has humidity in it. When it gets to a place that's conducting cold, that will condense, and so you're depositing those small particles of dirt, and you'll see those lines in there. One trick a lot of people do is when they have an under-insulated house, they'll give it a fresh coat of paint before they sell it, so you won't see those lines. Something to be aware of. Definitely look at the walls when you're buying a house. 2x4 walls just don't cut it up here. There has to be more than that. There's another point worth mentioning, and that is that fiberglass gets its insulating qualities by trapping still air in the millions of small spaces between the individual strands of fiberglass that make up a bat of insulation. That means, however, that if air is allowed to flow through the fiberglass, or the fiberglass is installed poorly with gaps or folds or unfilled areas around corners, blocking and electrical boxes are another problem, performance will suffer. Any kind of gaps in the fiberglass does not stop airflow. So if you can get airflow in that wall, in that stud bay, it's going to rob all that heat out of there. And so there's a statistic that I can throw out there that says if 3% of an R21 wall insulated with fiberglass has voids, the average R value drops to 16 or lower, so you definitely want to control air leakage.
Now, what about moisture in walls?
Well, moisture in walls is another big issue, or challenge, I should say, that we face up here. The problem is that the colder it gets, the greater the differences between our inside living environment and the outside become. When you picture a 2x6 wall at 6 inches thick, trying to manage extreme temperature and humidity difference, let's say it's 40 below outside and 65 degrees inside, and there's virtually no humidity at those temperatures outside, inside you could have 30 or 40% humidity. Well, when these two environments meet in the space of a six inch wall, you've got two worlds colliding. There's sort of an extreme example of this, and if you were to take a boiling cup of water, you know, and throw it into the air at minus 40, most of it evaporates almost immediately. Sometimes at night, if you've got a yard light on and you open the door to your house when it's 40 below, you can see a big cloud of vapor just traveling out and up. Well, similar things are happening inside the wall when the house has an air leak. Water vapor from that inside environment will try to reach an equilibrium with the outside, and so it will exit through any holes and it'll freeze somewhere in the wall where it reaches a temperature where water starts to condense. And this is exactly what we don't want. We want to keep moisture in the house at acceptable levels and minimize moisture getting into the walls with a good vapor barrier. Nowadays, also, HRV systems provide the prevalent modern solution to moisture control in that they are always bringing in fresh air and exhausting wet, humid air. And that's one thing that we have in Fairbanks that is kind of a saving grace, is that because our outdoor environment is so dry, when we introduce outdoor air to the inside, as it gets warmed up, its capacity to hold more moisture increases. And so we're having that ability to absorb more moisture as we introduce cold air, so there's a self-balancing effect going on. But you must have some kind of an air exchange system in order to be able to take advantage of that.
Ilya, when it comes to air quality, most people don't think about their wall. Why should we be considering air quality when we build a new home or renovate an existing home?
Air quality is a potential for concern for most homes built in the last 20 years, and ironically, this issue is kind of a byproduct of our efforts to improve on the three issues we were just going through, and that's moisture control, air leakage, and insulations. I would say that, for starters, probably 99% of all the homes constructed in Fairbanks in recent history use 6-mil polyethylene plastic sheeting as a vapor barrier to control air leakage and moisture. That basically covers the walls and the ceiling. The theory behind the 6-mil polyethylene is that if you can stop airflow and air movement through that with through the outside with a plastic sheet, you won't get moisture inside your walls. But what that means, in other words, is that we are trying to wrap the inside of our house in a giant plastic bag. Now, you can see where we do a really good job in building the bag where air quality might suffer. Fortunately, this is an easy fix, and it starts with awareness. As I mentioned before, most newer homes have HRV systems or dedicated fan systems that ensure that fresh air is entering the house. Well, this also applies to older houses, and this is especially true if they are undergoing weatherization or sealing. And I'd like to point out that you can learn a lot about your house with an energy rating, as many people locally are doing right now by being part of the retrofit program. Part of the rating involves a blower door test, and that's where they depressurize your house with a giant fan, and that tells you how airtight your house is. And if your house measures a certain level of tightness, which actually isn't that hard to achieve, then the report that they will give you will make a note of that your house needs a means to introduce fresh air and exhaust stale air in order to be healthy. You have to pay attention to this. Anything from radon, carpets, pets, dust, cleaning fluids, smoke, carbon monoxide, especially if you've got an attached garage, high humidity levels and mold spores. I mean, all these different factors will contribute to poor air quality. And it doesn't mean that the occupants will suffer full-blown cases of illness. In some homes, low levels of bad air quality just affect the immune system a little bit, or they can cause allergic reactions that can be blamed on other symptoms. But it's definitely worth taking a look at the air quality in the home and what the air exchange rate is. And many of those issues can be solved that way. The current construction philosophy that we have has this mantra that says you cannot build a home too tight, you can only underventilate. And the theory there is that the more you can control your air exchanges inside and outside, and the tighter you can make your house, the more efficient it will be. And this brings us to the air leakage component of wall systems. Air leakage equals heat losses. As much as 35% of a home's energy losses can be attributed to air leakage, all depending on scenario, but lots of older homes have incredible amounts of air leakage. And the issue there is that the more unregulated air leakage your home has, the greater the potential for heat losses is. And air leakage is not a simple thing. It's not always obvious. But, for instance, if we have a house that's got high winds on one side, it's exposed, say, to the north, these winds are hitting a wall, well, maybe on the south side, on the opposite side, you know, nothing is going on. This creates a pressure difference across the house, and that may create all kinds of strange things when there's air leakage, that you could be pulling air through one wall, pushing air in through the other wall. These are things we have no control over, so the tighter we make a house, the more control and influence we have over these kinds of situations. And there is another side to air leakage besides heat losses, and that's moisture. And we've talked about that a little bit, but this is something important to be aware of, and that is that 99% of the moisture that gets trapped inside the walls, inside the floor, and inside the roof of a house was transported there by airflow. Airflow is by far the primary vehicle for moisture infiltration. What happens with that humid indoor air is that it starts to condense as it works its way through the wall, and it cools, and it'll freeze, and then you'll have an issue there if your air leakage is bad enough. What happens here is that cooler air cannot hold as much moisture as warmer air, and so as the air travels through the leak in the wall, or the roof, or the floor, it starts to cool. As it cools, the less moisture it can hold, and then that moisture will condense on the closest cold surface. This could be electrical boxes, it could be framing, it could be nails, it could be anything.
And we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, we'll talk more about walls with Ilya Benesch. You're listening to EnergyWise.